You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
Like that. I don't know that I can really live up to something like that. But actually, it's really all about God, and that's why I'm really grateful to be here at this missions conference. You know, you are still a very rare church that has a week-long Sunday-to-Sunday missions conference. I only know of two. There's another one in Ohio that does the same thing. And I just want to express my gratitude and applaud you for keeping that up. In a world that is doing a lot of things and a lot of ministries and a lot of local, and the American church, in my opinion, has turned its focus inward a lot in the last several years, maybe decades. So I just want to applaud you for that. It is really worth doing. And it's actually really appropriate that we're here at this missions conference, and that God has made you for a mission. Because just a couple of weeks ago, we were in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the church that sent us to the Czech Republic 25 years ago. And we have had a real great time thinking and celebrating what God has done in 25 years of ministry. Even more than that, but 25 years with Reach Global in the Czech Republic, meeting the Roma people, and to what we are involved in now. I want to talk a little bit about that 25 years. I calculated it. If I use 5 minutes for 25 years, that's about 12 seconds per year, so it's going to go fast. But I want to share that as a testimony of God's faithfulness in our lives, Dora and my life and our children, as we have stepped out and explored how God has made us for a mission. And our mission is a little bit different than yours, but every individual has a mission that God has set you on, and he has equipped you for it. And I just want to talk about that a little bit and focus on prayer as a necessity for what God has made you for your mission. But I also want to give thanks and express my gratitude to the Senior Adult Bible Study. I had the joy of spending some time on Tuesday with them, sharing about the Roma ministry. The questions that you guys had were wonderful because you have the life experience to ask the right questions. And so it was a real joy to be with you and then to have lunch. Actually, if I knew that the senior Bible study group was going to be that fun, I would have aged a lot earlier. I suggest it to all of you. Age quickly so that you can join that group. When we set out to go to the Czech Republic, preparing started in 1994. By 1997, we had three children. One of them was very young. 4 months? 6 months? 4 months? 4 months, very young. And we packed up and said, okay, we're going to a country we've never been to that speaks a language we've never learned, and we're this mission. And God had confirmed it and called us to this mission, and we were ready to go. Then, of course, we went there, and we saw the struggles that we had with the language. We were trying to learn the culture. We found out that the people are not as forgiving and kind as Americans in general. And we had some struggles, and we were wondering, were we really made for this mission? And then we learned a little bit of language, and the Lord put people in our path, and we were able to share the gospel. We were able to answer the question, what are you doing here? We got to talk about Jesus, and we realized, yes, we were made for a mission. Then we had some more struggles, like the electricity being out for a weekend. And we had no idea why, and we didn't even know that the whole neighborhood was out and that there were signs, literally every other, like, 100 feet saying the electricity will be out this weekend. We tried to figure out, and we felt like, well, maybe we're not made for a mission. And then God would do something else, and we would know we were here for a mission. That balance between doubt and faith. Do you experience it sometimes? It doesn't matter what the mission is, where you are, what language you're speaking or trying to learn to speak. God gives you faith, but we struggle with our doubt. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So as I mentioned, I want to share a little bit of our 25 years of ministry, especially about the work with the Roma, and I want to share about prayer. Let's call this Getting Back to Basics. Chapter 1, Prayer. So as I mentioned, we set off in 1997 with three young children to live in a country that we'd never been to learn a language that we'd never spoken, to try and do some Bible training and leadership development in one of the most atheistic countries in Europe. And as we learned to do that, to learn to speak the language, figure out the culture, make some friends along the way, start to share the gospel, start to learn how to train people, how to talk about the Bible, we found that it was all about relationships. That as we were meeting people that God put in our paths, he would increase our influence. So after 2 years of language study and then a year of a pastoral internship with an established church, it was time to start what we kind of came for, and that was to be involved in church planting. So we moved to this one city, we helped to start this church, and in the process, we met the Roma people. I'm going to use the word Roma throughout this message, but Roma people are gypsies. You would know them as gypsies, and that's the common term here in this country. When I work in Europe with Roma networks, with the Roma people, the term gypsies is kind of a derogatory term in many of the languages in Europe, and so we say Roma, but it's the same thing as gypsies. So as we started to work with the Roma, we found a new calling that we didn't even know about when we went to Europe. One night we were having a visit with our friends Ivan and Jana, the first real Roma that we met, and they were doing some kids clubs, some youth ministry, and they were having a real tough time. They were really burned out, and we agreed to meet with them and maybe come alongside and help them. So he brought his family into this small apartment. She brought her family into their small apartment. Some more friends showed up. Their kids came by. Their kids' friends came by. And pretty soon, this small apartment was full of Roma people. And we were singing songs. They were teaching us Roma songs. You know, they brought out the coffee at 10 o'clock at night, coffee and sweets, and we were having a great time with them, and we were there till well past midnight. And then Dora and I got in our car, and we're driving home, and I remember that we just kind of looked at each other and said, we laughed and had more fun in that one night than we've had in the whole 2 years we've been here. And we knew we had a calling to work with the Roma people, and we knew that we had a new friendship that would really spark off new ministry. So, oh man, I'm way past 12 seconds a year. Okay, so we helped them to start this church, and it was a lot of a ministry of absence where, yeah, we could do this and this and this, and then, oh, well, I can't make it, so you guys will have to do it. That's a secret little trick that pastors... I shouldn't say that. Never mind. But you want the people to be doing the work, because if they're dependent on one person, well, not so much that can be done. But when the body comes together, a lot more can be done. That's why this mission has been called a made for a mission as a church and as individuals. But when we started this Roma ministry, we kind of quickly saw that it was a church and a youth group, and we helped. We worked with this couple where they had a nonprofit organization and a community center, and we started working with the Roma people. As I started to travel, the first opportunity was neighboring Slovakia. We did a short-term mission trip, and then we had our Roma come, and they helped to do like a construction project. They sent their Roma people to us to do a musical concert. And all of a sudden, the Lord opened the doors for traveling with these different Roma to these countries, in Ukraine and Hungary. And through that, I started meeting Roma, and I heard the same thing over and over and over. We want to do what God has made us to do. We know what God has made us to do. We're getting no support from the church. We're getting no resources from our friends. When you're a Roma person, you have a different color of skin than a Czech or a Slovak majority person. You have a different mentality, possibly. You have a different life experience. And you are often seen as outside, marginalized. You don't get the opportunities. And so often the church in Europe was, and this is a generalized statement, but often the church in Europe was saying that's a waste of time to work with these Roma people. So as we started to unite these groups, they were so excited to realize that someone believes in them. There's other little ministries in another country that are doing the same thing, and we can come together and pray together and unite. And as I did a little bit of that, there were other people out there. It's not me. There were other people doing the same thing, and when I met those people and those people came across me, we said, you know, we're networking the networks, and this could be across Europe. So in the year 2014, we had our first Europe-wide international Roma ministry conference, and we had people from, at that point, I think it was 34 countries coming, and it was a fantastic start to what is now the nonprofit called Roma Networks. That's my main work. I am employed by Reach Global. Most of my work comes through Roma Networks. So you send me out as a Reach Global missionary, and I go to Europe, and I work with Roma Networks ministry partners, and we develop healthy partnerships, which looks different in each place, and I offer ministry coaching. And this is kind of the way that it has gone right now, that the ministry at this point is networking, doing regional meetings and conferences in order to do training and resourcing. There's a sense of God's presence in the Roman people that I don't want to compare it, but I haven't seen it to this degree in any other network or group or people or church. There's something about the Roma people and their living day by day with God, and they're trusting him, and kind of a simple faith. And it's so refreshing to be a part of. And when they pray, they pray. They pray long, they pray loud, they pray, you know, for everything. And when I'm with them, I take that back as a motivation and excitement for prayer. So this is why we changed the theme of our Roma Networks country representatives meeting to prayer. So in about 6 hours, I'm going to get on a plane at O'Hare, and I'm going to fly over to the Balkan countries. I'll be in Serbia mainly. That's where our country representative meetings are going to be. With Reach Global, I'm part of the consulting board, and I'm the U.S. representative, and I have some colleagues coming with me. We are going to be focusing on prayer. Prayer by heart, most of you. I'm pretty sure that you pray. I saw with the Bible study on Tuesday that you know how to pray and support and encourage each other in prayer. I know that many of you walk closely with God. And so I almost hesitant to say, oh, I have something to say about prayer. But let's just call it a back to the basic. You know the story of Vince Lombardi, the coach of that other team up north of here, where he came after a year that they should have been champions, and he brought the team together and he pulled out a football and said, "This is a football." He went back to the basics. Maybe it's time in this country, in this political atmosphere, in this divisive time in America, in this world that's coming maybe out of COVID, maybe, I don't know, I don't even want to think about it. It's maybe in this world, there's a war in Ukraine that affects deeply some of my friends. It's one of the wars that has affected American public's hearts more than recent other wars, as terrible as all wars are. Maybe it's time that we do need to go back to the basics and think about prayer in our own life, in our own corporate life. So at these meetings that I'm going to in Serbia, we'll have people from, we'll have 100 people from 40 different nations, mostly in Europe, but also India and Pakistan with the Banjara people. We're hoping to have someone from Jordan with the Domari people. I've been told that there are sea inhabitant gypsies from Bali. I don't even know what that means, but I got a teaser that we think we've made contact with another gypsy group somewhere that they might be able to come to the conference. And as we start to learn prayer with this, go back to the basics with prayer, one of our friends here in the USA, Pastor Fred Hartley from Atlanta, Georgia, is going to be coming and helping us learn, review foundational truths about prayer, and guide us through a process of high worship, deep repentance, forgiveness of sins and freedom from strongholds, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and being empowered for ministry. So I was working with Pastor Hartley to just think about some of the logistics. We've got materials, it'll be in English, we'll have translation in Serbian, possibly Spanish, possibly some other languages. It depends on how we decide to do small groups. How are we going to do small groups? Most people speak English, so it's not going to be that complicated. But as we were reviewing this and talking about this material, I realized that God is kind of preparing hearts of people. I got an email last week, and it was from a friend of mine in Hungary. We've done a lot of ministry together, and his organization is a large organization that works with Christian Roma in Hungary, and he remembered a comment that he made about me to somebody else as I was walking away 3 years ago. He was convicted about it, and he wrote me an email, and I just thought, I remember the situation. I didn't see any offense happen, but the Holy Spirit convicted him and enough to write me an email across the ocean over 3 years later. And I just thought, I know that the Holy Spirit is preparing our hearts for something in these prayer meetings, because forgiveness and repentance are so important. So because Christ rapidly gains a lot when we devote ourselves to prayer and repentance, they have a kind of strategic prayers that will be taught, just general areas. So it's important to start each session. It'll be important to start teaching people that if you're going to be going into this and really, really starting to pray more and more in small groups with your family, with your church, that the enemy will push back. And so one prayer is of protection. In Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2, say, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." Second strategic prayer will be for direction. John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he declares to you the things that are to come. And the third strategic prayer is a revelation. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. So, I was telling Jack earlier, there's a demon behind every bush person. But I am, there's a demon behind some bushes person. Moderation, right? Some charismatics would see, and these are so generalized, but some charismatics might see a demon behind every bush. Maybe if you're more high theology evangelical, you might not see demons as much. I see kind of the middle road. I know there's what I would call spiritual oppression. And I think we kind of experienced a little bit of that in our last week. And actually, the last 10 days since we started praying these prayers and since we decided that we are going to do this at Roma Networks meetings with a large group of very influential leaders, we feel like a lot has happened in our household, for one thing. I actually started to kind of like, should I die, you know, put a journal and figure this all out, and I just couldn't do it. It was so crazy, but a lot of it has to do with our cars. We have three cars at home. Two of them didn't want to work, and the day we wanted to get one in to get fixed, I walked out to a flat tire. And on that same day, our dog needed to go to the vet, and the vet, you know, didn't have a spot. And, I mean, it was like one of those kinds of weeks. You've had them. We've had those hard weeks. But the amount of things that kept coming and kept coming, we felt like was so chaotic and hectic and so taking our attention off of prayer, off of preparing for this message, off of getting ready for this trip, that we really sense it was some spiritual oppression. So I just want to give a couple of stories. I don't want to go all into it, but one of the things with the car is that we knew that after a collision, it needed to get some fix, and nobody was hurt in the collision. It was my daughter. It was on some slippery road. No big, big deal, but we needed to get the collision, you know, the body work done. Well, she went in for an oil change, and she was told, well, the radiator's cracked, so you need to get that replaced. And so we brought it to one place, and they said, yeah, the radiator's cracked, but you got to get the, you know, the body work done first, then we can replace the radiator, then we can do the oil change. Got the body work done, and the guy calls us, and he says, yeah, I don't see a problem with the radiator. I see a problem with the water pump. Okay, well, try and work on the water pump. Let's go get a second opinion. Absolutely no problem with the radiator. There's no crack. It's working fine. Car hasn't overheated. Antifreeze is staying in there fine. And we just kind of say, well, either two people were lying to us at different places or saw it wrong, or God healed this car. So I choose to believe God healed our car in the midst of a lot of problems, just to show us he was watching. I'm going to tell one other story, and I am very, very aware that I'm going to be sounding a little on the edge of charismatic on this one, but I have to share this testimony. Over the years, whenever I travel, whether it was while we lived in the Czech Republic or while I'm in the States, it's almost inevitable that particular things go wrong. I don't know how this works, but one of the things that goes wrong is we get basement flooding. I cannot tell you how many times I've been woken up by the phone in the middle of the night, which is in the day here, to Dora or one of my children saying, basement is flooding, sump pump went out, it's raining hard and it's coming through the wall, the washer overflowed. I honestly think at this point it's near a dozen times. And, you know, this crazy week is happening here to us this last week, And I'm up in the study, actually, kind of looking at this message, and I hear the dogs barking, which is very normal in our house. They bark at leaves or squirrels or because they feel like it. So I came downstairs, and I hear the alarm that we had bought that detects water on the basement floor. And I go downstairs, and sure enough, a couple of inches in water all the way through. It's an unfinished basement. So yes, there's a lot of work, and we have to move some things around, but it's not a finished basement, at least. And so I start working on this, and I'm reminded this almost always happens when I'm gone. Now it's happening a week before I go. And I started to talk to God about this, and I just thought, this is a reminder. Get praying. Don't wait till the bad thing happens. Get praying now. Because when you're going to go and do ministry the way God has made you for a mission, the enemy will not like that. And so, I don't say these things to scare, but more to say, hey, here's a challenge to deepen our prayer lives, whatever that looks like. How do we deepen our prayer life? We depend on God. We spend time with God. We pray with each other praying. That's a simple thing we can do. It's just evaluate our lives. Are we praying as a family? Have to start out a big thing? Do we pray at meals? Can we say, hey, before we turn this show on, can we pray for a few minutes? I'm putting out a little challenge to think through that in your own hearts. So I want to quickly go, and I wish this could be a whole entire series or a much longer message, but I want to kind of go through the Lord's Prayer briefly as a pattern for prayer. Basically, the most foundational prayer ever given, literally the answer to, hey, how do we pray? This is Jesus' answer, taken from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. I'm going to read in the NIV. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we know that often we add, or we had traditionally add, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, which is possibly not in the original manuscripts, but probably taught by Jesus and well used over the years by Christians. So the Lord's Prayer pattern, it is given by Christ himself. It's a pattern we can consistently use together or by ourselves, and it contains all prayer. So as we learn to use this, or we refresh, right, back to the basics, just a few thoughts. Our Father in heaven, we start with relationship. Now, we know that not everybody had a father that they know or know well. Not every father is perfect. No father is perfect. But some are less perfect than others, except our Heavenly Father. But the focus is, this is on a relationship with someone who cares deeply for us, wants the best for us, and is available to and for us 24/7. All true prayer begins by receiving God's love and recognizing the relationship you have with the Father through Christ. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be thy name. Then we go to worship. All true prayer responds to the revelation of the glory of God's name. This is what we talk about when we talk about world missions. Every knee will bow. End comes. Worship. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is lordship. It's the Lord's will. We're not asking him to bless only our efforts. We're asking him to bring his kingdom to our domain. And he does that in the way that you are made, in the place that you are called. So It's God's sovereignty working through you, but in his sovereignty, he knows exactly who you are, what your character is like, how you relate with people, where you were born, where you live, who you're going to be in contact with. You're asking God to bring his kingdom into that spot in your life. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Kind of like two basic needs. Like if you think of a child, do they have a need for food? Yeah, it's a basic need. So give us the basic needs that we need and the spiritual needs that we have. But forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And with one act on the cross, with one death, he gets that forgiveness available for all. We take that forgiveness and we take by faith and we receive that forgiveness as an individual act, as a person. Don't we need daily forgiveness for the things that we talk about, think about, thoughts that we act on, the little comment that comes out that we think about later and say, maybe that wasn't the nicest thing to say. The thoughts that take us away from the Lord. I'll be the first one to admit there are many things in my life that take me away. I'm an excited person. I love to see new things. I like to start new things. And it can take me away from the Lord. Where's the shiny, pretty new thing? Fellowship, as we have also forgiven our debtors. With the forgiveness you have received from Christ, you are able to extend forgiveness to others. So as we realize how much we are forgiven, we're able then to take that forgiveness and give it to others. We know that what Christ has accomplished for us is so huge that that forgiveness can come easier and easier. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's ownership. Christ, again, is sovereign over all things. He owns everything. One of the things that I love about working with the Roma, and my Roma friends can tell you, when we get together for meetings, we make a plan and we go for it. The way I met the present chairwoman of Roma Networks is at a conference, and I said, you know, I caught her at lunchtime and said, hey, I'm with Reach Global, we're a mission, I've been working with the Roma. I really would love to see how you are thinking about ministering to the Roma in the wider network. And we sat down with what was a continuance committee to do another conference, and we talked for about an hour and a half, six of us. And in that hour and a half and talking and taking notes, we probably each came out of there with 3 to 6 months of work to do. And I really, really appreciate that kind of, okay, let's take what God is doing and do something with it. So I'm big on action steps. And I was thinking and praying, you know, what's an action step? I could say pray more. Probably it. I probably should have just come up here and said, hey, I'm going to give you a Bible lesson. Would you pray more, please? I probably could have done that and been done with my message. But here's a couple of questions just to think about to evaluate prayer in your life. And when I say in your life, I mean you individually, your family, your church, your small groups, wherever they are, the people that would naturally come together. What have you learned, or what is the Lord impressing on you about the Lord's Prayer pattern? Which of the parts of the pattern have you been spending the most time using, and which have you been using the least? Is there one of those sections that God is inviting you into to do, to be a little bit more deeper involved? So, again, I thank you so much for inviting me to share a message, to be a part of this missions conference. I hope that my small testimony on how God has worked among you through the Lord's Prayer, through this message, and ask him, is there something more that I can be doing to be praying? How am I made for a mission to be praying, and where will that lead? I leave you with that. And with that, I would like to pray for you all. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you without a lot to offer. We acknowledge that you are the God of creation. You have made the heavens and the earth. You have made the entire universe. You have made it in such a way that our minds cannot grasp the size of your creation. There's no way that on this side of heaven we'll begin to understand your greatness and glory just shown through creation. And the central point in history, as far as we are concerned, we're so grateful of Jesus being on the cross, dying for our sins, and giving us access to your forgiveness through faith, that we might live with you forever and glorify you forever. It's unfathomable. We can't even imagine yet what heaven will be like. But we look forward to joining you and seeing in full, and yet probably still having questions when we're in heaven, and just being in awe of your glory. Not only that, Lord, we ask you to make yourself present in our lives, that we would see you and see the work you're doing in our hearts as individuals, in this church corporately, in this community, in this city, in this nation, in the world. Lord, we ask you to be with all the missionaries who have represented world or cross-cultural missions this week, and we just ask that you would bless them with a real tangible sense of your presence. Let them read the word with new eyes. Let them see your work in what you're doing among their people. Father, we just ask that you would bless us, bring us to repentance, help us to ask for forgiveness for those acts that have hurt people that we know. Lord, give us fresh, clean hearts to listen to you. Help us to see you and hear you in our daily lives. We pray in Jesus' name.